Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show, where we're always right and never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. I want to send out prayers to all of those in Alaska who had an 8.2 earthquake on the Richter scale. I pray that the first responders and all that might have been involved are well, and I hope that not many people got injured. That has been, the largest earthquake blast or earthquake, eruption in 50 years of Alaska. So our prayers go out to them. We have a very exciting show lined up for you today. A friend of mine who is a radio host, writer, advocate, grandmother, entrepreneur, civil rights activist, conservative, and most of all, she's a diva. I am proud and honored to have in the studio and welcome my dear friend, Rachel Inez Stovall. Good evening. How are you?
I am terrific. I am so glad to be talking with you. You know, I had to talk about conservative. I'm so excited about your show and all of what you do and the people that you reach, Chauncey. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor and a blessing to have you on. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on. I'm excited to hear you talk about, talk a little bit about yourself. I mean, I mentioned a few things before you came into the studio about you. Talk a little bit about yourself and how long have you been a conservative? And then we can go into what conservative is today and the conservative movement and things of that nature.
Okay. So for you guys listening, I am Rachel Inez Stovall, and I live in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And Colorado Springs, Colorado is very exciting as far as places to live, because we are literally a Republican stronghold. We are what makes Colorado, which is kind of a purple state. We bring the red to the purple. So it's wonderful to live here. I was raised in Colorado Springs since the age of 9. So I've been here a long time, and I've been kind of in this place where conservative principles are actually really, really important. And what's neat about Colorado Springs is from its founding as a city in the 1800s, they always had people of all races school together. There was never any segregation in schools. And so African Americans would come from all around the country because they appreciated not only the freedom, but they truly valued the education that you can get when you walk into a classroom and you are treated. And so it's a wonderful city, and we really kind of love the way that we have things here. And I really believe that God is going to use my city like that light on top of a hill to show other people in the country how things can work well. So, by the way, for your listeners, and this may even be new to you, Chauncey, we are home to 5 military bases.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're home to 5 military bases. We have Cheyenne Mountain, everybody's favorite locale that kind of gets shown in, the Stargate movies.
Yes.
We have the Air Force Academy. We have Peterson. We have Schriever. And we are part of Aerospace Command. By the way, several of them, 3, were just renamed as Space Force because we do a lot of the tracking for the globe of satellites, and we keep the, area, around orbit, around the Earth, you know, in order. We keep it in order. And this has become the newest area that has to be protected in special ways, both on the cyber front and physically in the space. So we're a big city with a big job. We've gone from being a tiny city of about 100,000 back in the day to being almost 1 million as the Pikes Peak region and 500,000 as a city. So we're growing and we're changing. And I kind of talk to you about me in terms of my city because this is where I have lived all of my life. And because I was not raised in one of those urban cities, I was not told about who I wasn't and what I couldn't have or what I couldn't do. I was not told my skin was a deterrent to anything. I went to school with teachers who simply taught us, and they paid attention to what our grades were. And if we weren't doing a good job, they called our parents. And, you know, we had old-fashioned parents who might spank you because you needed to get your tail together and not get anything below a B. So that's kind of my upbringing. And so I bring all of this and a fundamental belief in family, in business, small business especially, you know, freedom in general, just because I've had that as an experience. And I am told almost every day that it is an unusual experience as an African-American woman. In fact, I find myself being called privileged on a pretty regular basis, and I just shrugged it off because we had the privilege of working hard and being treated as equals. So I don't really know that that's privilege, but, you know, that's some of the things that we say nowadays about, you know, what we just thought was a regular upbringing, you know, and military families take care of one another regardless of color. And so there's just a different culture in our city. I'm not saying we're a perfect city and we're not a perfect city racially, but we are heads and above the majority of the nation.
That is extraordinary to hear your story and to hear the type of city you grew up in. So you've always been a Republican. You've always been a conservative.
Really? As far as I can remember. And I think what's kind of funny is we didn't call it anything in particular. So because I was, you know, for many years just kind of walking around doing my thing, volunteering was part of our lives. My mother had us in a group when I was in middle school and high school called the National Association of Black Women. And we were just told, you lift as you climb. We just weren't told anything else. By the way, here's a tidbit for you guys. Did you know Madam C.J. Walker, the first female black millionaire in the United States, lived in Denver? That is no coincidence. She did not receive opposition to her business, nor having a large one, nor being wealthy in Denver, because Colorado is not perfect, but Colorado is drastically different than a lot of areas in the country. And so as far as I know, I've always been. But what was kind of funny for me is I went to community organizer school in 2004. And so this was my first kind of exposure to really liberal ideas. So here I am. I'm in L.A. We're going on actions. We're being taught, you know, these different things are kind of, you know, championing the people. So this is what we're being taught. And a lot of the ideas sounded absolutely crazy to me. And so I remember pulling somebody to the side and going, I wasn't taught these things and these things sound wild to me. And they laughed and said, my God, you're a conservative. And I just kind of laughed and said, so do I have to do these things? Because these things sound crazy. And they kind of laughed and said, you know what, why don't you go back to your city? Because we've never made any kind of traction in your city. And find out what works with the people there and talk to people about the things that they are interested in. And so that began my long-term career as a community advocate And this may be shocking for some of you, but this is the organization that raised Obama, but they let me be the conservative that I am. And I received, some teasing, from other organizers who were from Detroit or from Baltimore, but they could not, say anything against the level of the organization that I raised up in the city and really the organization that is here to this day. And so I really was blessed in doing that. But just, I live a lot of principles that some people would call old-fashioned. Every once in a while I get asked, what in the world do you want to conserve? I want to conserve the building blocks of the society. Because what I learned in my sojourn with people who were straight, furthest left, ultra-liberal, Marxist trained, is that what we call the building blocks of society, family, business, education, faith, those building blocks that help to make a healthy society, they're against all of those. And they want to replace it with things that don't work. They want the state to be the family. They want the state to be the religion. They want the state to be the business. They want the state to control things instead of being free. And these ideas are pernicious, dangerous, and ridiculous. The black community is not going to make it without strong black families. And I'm not just talking nuclear families. I'm talking families in general where people are connected for a common purpose.
Amen. Amen. As I'm listening to your story, and you grew up in a conservative state, conservative town.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a city, and I've always been in an urban city, and I've always been a Republican, and actually my father was a Republican as well, so that made it a little easier for me. But I think about black conservatism today. I haven't seen black conservatism rise or has taken as much footing as when Donald Trump ran for president. Even the second time around, he doubled his numbers with African Americans, and he doubled his numbers with Hispanics. The part that I can't figure out is these cities that are controlled by Democrats for 60 and 70 years have decimated these cities. And
yeah.
I grew up in the city, and I can't for the life of me, and I'm a part of the social, economic, educational fabric. I cannot understand why people continually vote against their interest. I don't know why I would be considered, or a black conservative, the enemy, so to speak, or I'm out of touch, or I'm not aware of the issues. And I'm paraphrasing it, not just me per se, but I mean, black conservatives in general, when we listen to the left and the narrative that they want to push, or we're a sellout or all these other things. Yet the people that failed them, they follow them in lockstep.
Of course they do.
And that baffles me. Can you share some insight on that?
I would love to give you some insight on that. So let's use something that's not political to make a comparison, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have ever watched a relationship where there's abuse going on in the household, the leader of the household does things that are abusive to those put in charge to them, right? They may beat them. They may scream at them. They may be verbally abusive. There may be open put-downs. You know what I mean? They may terrorize them. They may drag them out of the bed at night. And what takes place in a situation like that is called the trauma bond. And so because the trauma bond is tied to our physiology as human beings, the very things that should be running the family away from the abuser instead bond them to it. Let me explain this. So in a household where you're being beaten and, you know, all of these other terrible things, your physiology changes. Your blood chemistry changes as a response to being under insane amounts of stress, okay? Your brain literally changes. And with this, that context, you get so accustomed to feeling terrible that it's your normal. And you get bonded to that sense of being terrified, having your life terrible, having a lot of those become your normal. And even if you are physically lifted out of the situation, like children are when they take them out and put them in nice foster homes, you can't adjust. You can't adjust because it can take 3 to 5 years away from the abuse to completely recover from it. So I'm going to take that analogy of abuser and abused and get you clear on, in these cities, the leadership, they abuse the citizens. They abuse the citizens with policies that make people get ahead, make it impossible to keep up a house even. Let's look at all these rental prices and these other sorts of things. They make it impossible for people to catch a break, impossible for people to be stressed. But their body work against them. Most of the black community is in a state of post-traumatic stress disorder right now. And so instead of being able to see clearly the abuser and get away from them, we have people running to the abuser as though they are being helped by the abuser. By the way, part of the process that abusers use to control those who they're supposed to care for is they gaslight them. So they feed them narratives, making other people the enemy. Do you see a pattern yet?
Yes, ma'am. Continue. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Politically, the Democrats have convinced the majority of the black community that Republicans are their enemies, when in actuality, it is the Democrats who are the enemies. It is the Democrats behind these terrible policies. It is the Democrats behind this awful welfare that makes people dependent. And they know that they make people dependent. It is their intent. And so they put out these narratives, this gaslighting, where you're crazy if you don't believe they're your friend while they are actually destroying you. This is how we went from a community that was 70% married with thriving households to a community that is 70% unmarried. And it is not a coincidence that this is away from it is going strong and enabled us to win civil rights. They started the war on poverty, but they should have called it the war.
I'm sorry, Rachel, you were breaking up. I don't know if you can move because sometimes you're breaking up. I don't know if it's my end or your end.
All right. So let's – okay, is this working any better?
Yes.
Better? Better? Okay.
Better.
So the war to create – the war on poverty was really more like a war to create poverty. It really was. And in our educational system, at the same time, we went from a rigorous education done in segregated settings by black teachers who really cared about the children, to all of a sudden our settings were these white teachers who couldn't care less about the children and not having rigorous education. So we had these two things happen at the same time, and culturally it has really hurt us. But because we're in a state of trauma, because we're in PTSD, because we're in fight or flight almost every day, we can't see who's doing it.
Amen.
And it takes a lot of work to get out of the fight or flight to be able to see it clearly. It's shocking when you get to the point that you see it. But meanwhile, the studies being done by the liberals are telling us that we are literally in a state of PTSD. But who do they blame? They blame the people who haven't done it. They blame the people who truthfully just leave us alone. You know what I mean? Republicans
exactly.
aren't doing anything that's designed to do anything to us. They just leave us alone. They kind of go, if you can do well with this and, you know, you can make put your life together and, you know, you have, an admirable life, you must merit it. You must deserve it. Good for you. That is, you know, the average, you know, white conservative. They're not necessarily going to help, but they're not going to do anything that holds you back. The average white liberal is like, how dare you be successful? Or you're the only one that's successful because, you know, the rest of your community is in poverty, which, by the way, isn't true. In most cities, we have, you know, 15% of us making over 100K. We have about 40% of us making up to about 70. We have, you know, probably 30% of us, you know, slightly below that. But we generally hover in the area of only 20% of us that actually live in poverty. And, you know, we're talking about the federal guidelines and the programs. So we're being gaslit. We're being gaslit on a massive level because these Marxists, these ultra-liberals, they have infiltrated black media.
For those that are tuning in, you're listening to The Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. We have conservative Rachel Inez Duvall in the studio, journalist, contributor, civil rights activist, grandmother, entrepreneur, and most of all, diva, talking about black conservatism in America.
Yeah.
Rachel,
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
We understand and have identified the problem. We also understand and have identified who the oppressors are.
Right.
What could we do as black conservatives to try to raise the level of consciousness to these folks who, in Malcolm X's words, have been bamboozled, hoodwinked?
Bamboozled,
what could we do?
Is definitely the right word. I think that, truthfully, we need to listen to people on the level that they're at when they're expressing the things that have happened to them. We need to take it as truth. These things have happened to them, particularly people in leftist strongholds. They were abused in school. They probably were part of the school-to-prison pipeline. They really did have people be unfair to them. And the long-term fix is healing. We need as many people who will go into the healing professions as possible for us to begin to take care of ourselves. You know, the most revolutionary thing that black conservatives can do in the United States right now is fantastic self-care emotionally, spiritually, financially, socially, you know, and anything else that we can think of. We must go back to taking care of ourselves. And this means that, you know, we have to disconnect from really unhealthy patterns of relating. And so I don't know that all of us need to go to therapy, but if we can, we should. But we can engage in coaching. We can engage in encouraging. And while we're doing those things, when we come to the point that people are beginning to feel a little calmer, feel a little better, and get out from under the mental oppression, then we begin to introduce information. We are trying to introduce information to people who cannot receive it. and they cannot receive it because they're in a state of fight, flight, freeze, or even the newest one that psychologists have added to that is fawn. And we watch people fawning over the liars like Kamala Harris, the liars like Joe Biden. Joe Biden is very racist. I cannot believe anyone in the community voted for him. But I get it, because when you are in the state of debating life-taking stress, you'll do things like that. You will do things against your own interests. And so I think a lot of us who are conservative, we have to stop saying things like get off the plantation and other things like that. You know, insulting a hurt person doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. I'll give you an example. In Colorado Springs, I helped found a group. Me and five friends, we founded a group of the Colorado Springs Black Business Network. And all we did was give tons of encouragement, love, and support to business owners. We went from a few folks to 2,000 people to respond with regularly. And all we did was just show up in a supportive way. You know, and they knew that most of us on this board were conservative. They knew it. And what they would notice is the support in their lives that increased their bottom line was coming from those Republicans. And so a lot of people who are conservatives are, you know, you're a sellout, you're this, you're that, you're the other. I almost never hear those things. And I'm a public figure in a city, you know, that has, you know, 500,000, that's part of a region that's almost a million people. So I have, you know, the chance to receive, you know, ample amounts of abuse. But instead, having really nurtured, loved on, helped, and increased the money in the pockets of thousands of people, the liberal black people here may hate my guts, but they don't tell me to my face because they don't know when the day's coming that they'll need me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So our
Yes.
approach as conservatives, our outreach needs to change. We need less talking. We need more action, and we need to build up business networks and teach our brethren how to live independently of this system, have pride in themselves, and if we can model it, then we will be in a fantastic place of doing that. And so those are the things I seek to do every single day, and it works really well because, you know, again, person in front of me, they never know when they'll need me. I'm the person people call when someone's becoming homeless or when DHS comes and takes the kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, I'm the person that they call, you know, I can't get enough funding for my business, you know, and I will take someone that I barely know. And I know that they're vehemently Marxist and liberal, but because they're trying to get that business started, I make the warm call to the bank president or the bank vice president. I go with them. You know, there's one young man, and I saw him at the bus stop. He's in the suit and all the rest of this. I said, what happened? He said his car was broken. I brought him to my house and gave him my third car. I gave him the keys. I literally didn't even ask him for his address. I just extended the trust. A lot of people would say that was crazy, but this is a Muslim man that's, you know, a Democrat from New York City, and he wrote a huge post on Facebook last month. This is years ago. I'd forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. And told people, Miss Rachel's the real deal. And some of y'all telling me all about how you support. You ain't helped me with nothing. She gave me a car and didn't even pay any. Just was like, when I called her several months later, like, do you need your car back? She was like, are you finished with the car? Because you can sweat and know anything. You know what I mean? You know, as conservatives, we need to, and this aligns with biblical principles, right? Right?
Yes.
So this is the sort of thing we have to do. Not coincidentally, these are the people, too, calling me behind the scenes like, well, I'm not sure that I'm going to go to the Republican meeting, but can you tell me about the candidates? Who do you think I should vote for? Why do you think I should vote for them? So this is the kind of outreach that we as conservatives have to do. We have to do it at that level. We have to be the pillars in our community. We have to be the successful ones in our community to stand out. We have to be the nurturing ones in our community. You know, and that really, it's Isaiah 58 for anybody who wants to read the whole chapter and consider applying it. These are the things that change political hearts and minds. The debates almost never change anyone.
Thank you so much. That was a very insightful, informative
You're welcome.
Perspective.
You know, and I kind of laugh because the GOP in Colorado Springs often does things exactly like that. We'll go to the opposing party's, you know, event and bring cookies. Or we will actually pay, like they have, you know, their big, you know, gala. We'll pay for tickets and go and attend. And just walk around and hug all the people we've made friends with. But we don't treat them like enemies at all because we know that they have been tricked, hurt, and often beaten into being followers of this Marxism. They didn't choose it. They just haven't figured out that they've been programmed into it. They've been brainwashed. They've been gaslit. They're in a state of pain, you know, and we shouldn't beat on people who are hurt already.
That is a very, very interesting perspective, is to give love to it, not embarrass them, not call them names, like
right.
I said about.
Right.
But, and I've been guilty. I've been guilty of saying get off the plantation. You know, when I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. So you definitely bring a different dynamic, and you've even raised my level of consciousness on how I look, at how I would present talking to people on the other side. I think that is critical. That's very, very important.
The other thing that I think it's important for us to do, so let's not pick the person on the ultra left to target with this. You know what I mean? Okay, so when we look politically at that spectrum, you know, somebody may be, I'm not hard right. Okay, so let me kind of begin at that point. I would say that I'm close to center. But when I see someone who may be a liberal that's kind of close to center, that's usually my target. I kind of befriend them on purpose. Do you know what I mean? And the reason I do is because that person has an ability to move towards the right, even if they're just moving closer to center.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And
right.
That's a process that can happen quickly because people are lonely. People are unconnected. I build networks of people, large networks of people. I have a new one, advocates of the Pikes Peak region. We're beginning mixers that are going to be every Tuesday, every fourth and second Tuesday of every month, and we're picking restaurants. And all of the restaurants we're choosing, we know are, you know, Republican owners, kind of all the rest of that. People are going to have good food. They're going to be, you know, thrown down with music. There's going to be speakers in, but very short sort of speaking thing. And people are just going to mingle and mix and laugh. And, you know, if you're going to lift a glass of whatever it is, I'm going to have some ginger ale.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do this on a regular basis. Why? Because it's creating a space where people can come with their questions, even people who are finally considering, you know, leaving the left. They're looking at the walk away. And good for them. Good for them if they're looking at it. And we're inviting all sorts of people. We have the Log Cabin Republicans, a huge group of LGBT right people on the right, you know, which is an unusual sort of thing, but they have broken away from the left, and they are some of the best recruiters that we have in the party. We're bringing people who are the friendliest, the nicest, of every race, color, creed, and whatever that you can think of, just patriots, just love God, love family, you know, and all the rest of that. So we have a core of patriots that are running the mixers, but they're just places where people can come. And so the shy person can sit at the back and say nothing if they want, but they can enjoy their meal and they can have fun. You know, we'll put out hors d'oeuvres and, you know, we're doing those sort of things because that's how I built the Black Business Network. We had regular sorts of things where people could join, and then we did online things where people could join, and it was a safe space, and there was very rarely even any debate. You know what I mean? And
yes.
In the debate, we would kind of be like, okay, so you have to be moderate in the way that you come at this. You can talk ideas, you know, you can't attack people, you know, those sorts of things. So that's one of the things that we are doing in our city so that even more people have the opportunity to feel welcome while they begin to explore what they think or feel politically. And so, you know, we all have a circle. We all have influence. And in 2021, we all have a platform.
Amen.
Some of us have multiple platforms, right?
Amen.
So we can use our platforms, you know, in this way, and we can just grab all the low-hanging fruit. People at center, you know, in most states you're unaffiliated, low-hanging fruit. All you have to do is go and get them.
Rachel, I can't thank you enough for your service to America. Your activism, your ability to raise a level of consciousness, lift people up. You are an example of a child of God sharing and giving love to all people and uplifting everyone. God bless you. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I hope...
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. and I hope that you would come back on, because not even to continue this conversation. Yeah, because you've hit on areas that even opened my eyes and gave me pause and to consider. And I also want to have you back on to talk and share your insight about the current political climate, which I think is imperative for us to break down for America to understand for those who might be perplexed by mainstream media. That's a conversation that needs to be had as well. Okay. Please share with my, I'll let you finish. When you finish what you're going to say, and then share with my audience if they want to get in touch with you, your website, and things of that nature to follow you or get in touch with you, please. I can't hear you. You're coming in broken up again. You know, I have bad weather here in New Jersey, and I wonder if that's affecting, because I didn't hear anything you're saying, and I think it's because of the weather here where I'm at in the Northeast. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So anyone who would like to get in touch with me can do that through the newspaper that I write for. So we're going to say Colorado Springs Gazette, and that's going to be www.gazette, GAZETTE.com. Cool. So hit the opinion page. You can scroll through pretty easily, grab a column, you know, connect to the paper, and, you know, you can tell them, hey, you know, give me Rachel's email, or, you know, send my contact information to Rachel. I really answer those things. I really talk to people. People can also go to my Facebook page, Rachel Inez Stovall. You can talk to me. You can friend me. Let me admit, I've got about 200 friends requests in my queue right now. But, you know, you can message me. Any of those things that you want to connect, you can ask me, you know, for opinion, question, research, because I often have to research the things I write in the paper. I'm very careful to not sound like a wild conspiracy theorist, because you just can't do that at a newspaper. So I think that those things will help people. And I would love to come back on and talk about the gaslighting that's happening in media, through media, and why, so that listeners can really begin to kind of defend themselves against these harmful messages that are part of programming. You know, we're being conditioned to accept things that aren't good for us.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for an informative, insightful, uplifting, spiritual, and encouraging message on today's show. We're very thankful and blessed to have my sister Rachel in the studio speaking truth to power, not only sharing her experiences as a child growing up in Colorado, but the work that she's doing in a community, not only with the Republican Party, but with businesses, with the community. She is the epitome of what an example of a child of God is like. She's putting her best foot forward always, and we thank her for taking the time out of her schedule to be on our show. We keep her in our prayers. This woman, as you can tell by her passion and compassion, only wants to do the right thing for humanity. And like I said, she serves as an example. She's uplifted my spirit today and given me insight on how I could bring better discourse to the conversation of bringing people more to the center. You're listening to The Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left. We always put God first and politics second. As you know, I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. You can follow us on Facebook at The Chauncey Show, on Twitter, Chauncey Show USA, Parler, Gab, The Chauncey Show. You can follow me, NY Talk Radio Host, NY Talk Radio Host, on all platforms, Google, Gab, Parler, Cloud Hub. I'm everywhere. Please follow me for updates. Next up on Tuesday, we have a very, very great show coming up, as we always do. We're going to have in the studio next week, I believe, U.S. Senate candidate running out of Pennsylvania. Let me confirm. Yes, we're going to have Kathy Barnett. She's always on the news, Fox News, and always on the conservative news station. She's now running for U.S. Senate of PA. We're going to have her in the studio next Tuesday. And next Thursday, we're going to have veteran and Marine, former Marine, Paul Crespo, who is the president and also a contributor to CNN and other news outlets in the past. He is currently the president of the Center of American Defense Studies, and we're going to talk about military in America today. I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in. Please, if you could make your small donations, we do this. We volunteer to do this, and your small donations help us to continue to get the word out to the nation. Please, send us what you can. PayPal me, The Chauncey Show. PayPal me, The Chauncey Show. I also want to thank all of our regular contributors and also our past contributors for their support, for helping us to make this happen. As always, God bless you all. Stay safe. And remember, until next time, keep the faith. God bless you all. Have a good night.